I'm reminded as we gather on this first Sunday of 2022, there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. We need to bear that in mind as we go through these time of prayer and fasting, because there are many who need heaven today. As Brother Winston comes from the choir every week, he reminds me, the world will give him hell, you give him heaven. Let's pray this morning as we hear God's word to us that we'll be inspired to give people heaven. I want to thank Brother George this morning for making these beautiful crosses. But if all we do is admire the beauty and we do not allow God to speak to our hearts, that God would cause us to get serious with him as we've never been serious in quite some time. All his labor has been in vain. All the preaching is in vain. We need God to deal with our hearts. You know, as the pastor, all I can do is take God's word and give it to you, bring it to your ears. But friends, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would take it to our hearts. And I don't know about you, but it's time to get serious with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time to let the Lord Jesus Christ have his will and his way in our lives. Amen? Someone, Patty Puckett, bless her soul, came in this morning and said, "Preacher, how much weight did you gain?" And I said, "Well, I think I held my own." It kind of reminded me of a young son. He was working out and he'd gotten himself in great shape, and he came running into the living room and he says, "Dad, look at that. Look at that. It's a six pack, Dad. It's a six pack." That father stood up and he said, "I don't know what you're getting so excited about. That's two kegs right here." It's okay to get old, amen? Just as long as we don't ripen like a banana, we'll be all right. Be finding in your Bibles this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And when you have found that verse, if you would please rise as we honor our King with the reading of his word. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, as we embark on Operation Heal America, Lord, we're reminded yet again that the answers to the society in which we're living today are found right here in your holy word. You have laid it out before us. You have challenged your people. You have said, "If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves," and therein lies the problem. For many of your people today are too proud of themselves, too full of themselves, and too unwilling to humble ourselves. Lord God, as we bring this first of six messages during this time of prayer and fasting, would you do a mighty work? Would you do the work that only you can do, the kind of work that cannot be explained in human terms, the kind that can only be explained by saying, "The Lord our God has visited us." May this be the heartbeat of Green Valley Baptist Church, that you might begin to bring revival from Lebanon, Virginia, that would reach around the globe. And Lord God, we pray these things today in the name that stands above every name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Now, I've shared this with you before, brothers and sisters. Darkness is doing just what it knows to do. And let that sink in for a moment. Darkness is doing just what it knows to do. And the reason that the darkness has invaded our nation, our homes, our communities, our Congress, our you name it, it is everywhere. And the reason that darkness has invaded is because we who are called to be the light of the world have not shined our light as we ought to. I think you might agree with me this morning that it seems or it appears to be that there are many Christians who would rather hide their light. Contrary to what many Christians believe, God is not holding Satan, the demons, unbelievers, past or present administrations, Congress, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, progressives or conservatives, academia, the fake news, special interest groups, lobbyists, the deep state, or Hollywood responsible. God's word lays it out here. God is holding those of us who claim his name, those of us who name the name of Christ, that is who God is holding responsible, because again, darkness is doing just what it knows to do. As someone once said, evil only prospers when good men do nothing. And as Pastor Brandon alluded to in his message last Sunday morning, many Christians have counted the cost of discipleship and have decided it is too expensive. Like those in Jesus' day, many Christians and some sit in this church, and I have been your pastor long enough now to be able to say that. Some attend this church sporadically. And somewhere along the line, you have made the decision to drift from God. You're content with a little bit of God in time, but not really desirous to become absolutely serious with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've made the decision to rest in the Lord, but you're not willing to live for the Lord. You've made the decision to be tolerant of what goes on around you, the old adage, live and just let live. You've made the decision to cloak yourself in Christ, but we're unwilling to stand up and stand with Christ. And we've made these decisions somewhere along the line because we've simply decided that the cost of true discipleship is too expensive. It's too much work. It's too much time. It's too much of a sacrifice. It's too much to be expected of me to be at church. It's too much of me to be expected of me to serve the Lord. It's too much to be expected. It's too much rejection. There's too much persecution. There's too much pain. There's too much loss. There's too much suffering. And besides all of that, preacher, it's too risky, especially in a nation that is becoming increasingly intolerant of Christ and Christians. It just plain cost way too much to be like Jesus. And so I think if we're honest, we'd have to agree that we have become very adept as Christians at hiding our light in the places where God has placed us. For example, I will never work where Trey McCall works. That's Trey McCall's ministry field. You might never be where I am, but we all have been given a field, a place, a little world in which God expects us to shine brightly. Rather than shining brightly, we become very adept at hiding our light. And we must ask the question, have we become so increasingly tolerant and so much like the world that we have forgotten that even the devils are subject unto us through Jesus' name, Luke 10 and 17. You see, the problem with our present world is not because of what we are doing, it is because of what we are not doing. We are not collectively allowing our light to shine for Jesus Christ. I find it interesting, brothers and sisters, as we gather here on the first Sunday of 2022, that while everyone else is coming out of the closet to transform their world around them and the culture around them, the overwhelming majority of Christians are hiding in the closet and transforming no one for Jesus Christ in the culture that is around us. And our problem is not numbers. We have more than enough numbers to transform the culture around us. We have more than enough to transform Lebanon, Virginia. We have more than enough to transform our home, transform our church, transform our community, our government, and our nation. We have more than enough. Because my Bible teaches me that one in God is a majority. My Bible teaches me that the apostles were more than enough in their time. And if they were more than enough in their time, we are more than enough in our day. You see, when you have Jesus Christ as the King of your heart, when you have Jesus Christ as your King, when you're willing to march in His infantry, when you're willing to stand on the front lines with your Lord, when you're willing to trust Him completely no matter what takes place, you will rock your world. Then and only then will you be willing to live different so you can make a difference. Could it be that we're just not shining our light because we look too much like the world around us? You know the problem as well as I do. It is sin. More specifically, our unwillingness to turn from it so that we could burn brightly for Jesus Christ in our homes, in our church, and in our communities. God forbid that we have become worldly, or we have remained worldly simply because we have never grown up in Christ. You know, when you met Christ, when you came to know Jesus Christ and you prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you were coming out of the world and there was some old stuff in you. And God wants to make you new. But if you don't attend Sunday school, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't learn about God, you're still that same old carnal Christian. You never changed. God cannot make you new because you are not doing the things where God can make you new. Oh. And then I think, have we become so used to the world telling us what to do that we've become unwilling to say no to our flesh and tell the devil where to go in Jesus' name? I want to get personal for a moment. I want to ask you a question to think about. Whose word is having the final say in your life, in your home? Is it God's word? Right here. Or is it something else? And then I want you to think about this. Because I know God's word never goes out void and God speaks right to your heart. How would God answer that question? How about this? Would it be closer to the truth that far more than we care to admit it is the court of popular opinion that rules our homes, our community, our nation? Instead of tearing our hearts over offending a holy, righteous God, it seems to me that much of modern church flaunts their disobedience, their rebellion, and their idolatry. Instead of beating our chest and weeping over offending a holy God, we wring our hands and we worry that we should offend people. Who should we be pleasing? Is it us, or is it God? We want God to fix the mess we're in. We hear it in our deacons' meetings. We hear it in the prayer requests during the Bible studies. I hear it as I visit in the homes and talk with you on the phone. I receive texts from you. Oh, what a mess we are in, and we want God to fix this mess without our having to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you this morning, it does not work this way. God did not give his one and only begotten Son to go to Calvary's cross so that we could go on sinning. He gave his one and only begotten Son to save us from our sins. You know, much of modern Christian belief is that grace covers everything, so you can quit preaching at me, preacher. Grace covers everything, so it doesn't matter how I live. Nothing could be further from the truth, though. God spells it out in his word, Romans 6. Paul dealt with his utter foolishness in his day, and we must stand and confront this utter foolishness in our day. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And I am convinced that without this wisdom, without this knowledge, without the doctrine of the Bible, we have no hope of understanding that the days of blaming the world for the mess we are in is over. Because darkness is simply doing what it knows to do. It doesn't know any better. But we who have Christ living inside of us, we do know better. God makes it abundantly clear in His Word here whom the problem and solution lie with. It is us, His people. Listen to the text again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This verse simply describes to us how a nation turns from its wicked ways to experience the spiritual healing that only Jesus Christ can bring. In the Old Testament, the Jews were God's covenant people. In the age of grace, the church is God's covenant people. So the principles that are contained in 2 Chronicles 7:14 aptly apply to us. Brothers and sisters, are you aware that as of April 26, 2020, the United States population was approximated to be 330,653,000 Americans? And 70.6% of those Americans identified themselves as Christians. That means that the chaos that is taking place in America rests today with approximately 233 million Americans. Now, can you imagine what would happen if this many people in America would humble themselves and begin to pray? Too big? Can you imagine what would happen in Green Valley and Lebanon, Virginia, if we as a church will humble ourselves and commit to seek His face and to pray? But we don't have to imagine, because God tells us right here in this verse what will happen. God will hear from heaven. God will forgive our sin. God will heal our land. And your land begins in your home. It extends to this church. It extends to this community. It extends to this state. It extends to this county. It extends to this nation. We are members one of another in Christ Jesus, born again to be a light in the conscience of this nation. Are you aware that in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, King Solomon has just finished building the temple and he has offered up his prayer, and the Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord fills the temple beginning at the very beginning of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And God's people offer sacrifices and a 7-day feast commences and it culminates with a celebration on the 8th day. And it is in that night that the Lord God appears to Solomon and tells him, if his people ever reject his ways and turn away from him, but then repent and turn back to him, he will hear their prayers. He will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now watch this. God's promise here in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is predicated upon a condition. And that condition is that we have to be willing to humble ourselves and pray. This is one of those conditional promises of God. If we will do that, God says he will do what he has promised. But if we won't do that, then God will not do what he has promised. Up to now, we haven't, so God won't. Listen, when you come to God, you cannot come just any old way. When you come to God, we are to come the way God says we are to come. We are coming to a holy God, not a God of our own making, not a God of our imagination. We are coming to a holy, righteous God, the King of Kings, the Creator of us. He is God, and we are not. And perhaps we ought to say that to ourselves. Can we do that? Let's try that out loud this morning. He is God, and we are not. I find that if we speak it, it becomes more of a reality to us than if we just think it. You know, someone once said, some of the things you hear, you need to let it go in one ear and then let it ease on out the other. But this is something we don't want to let ease on out. We need to retain it. Amen. He is God, and we are not. And so we either play by God's rules that are contained in God's word, or God doesn't play. But I want you to notice something. God does not stop us from playing. And far too many people who name the name of Christ are playing Christian, but they are not being a Christian. God doesn't stop us from playing, and that's the reason we're in this mess. It's the reason why so many Christians are wondering, why doesn't God do something? And the reason they wonder at such things is because they're waiting for God to act when God is waiting for us to get serious and come back to God. Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're just going to take one word for today, and it is the word if. If. Now, we all know that God is certainly capable of healing America any way and any time he wants. But God says, if, meaning that God will only do it if we do what God requires first. If we choose to obey, God will heal our land. He will forgive our sin. He'll heal our homes, our church, our community, our county, our state, our nation, you name it, God will heal it. But if we choose to reject what God is saying to us in this verse, God won't. And up till now, we haven't, and God hasn't. And it is the reason why we have gotten exactly what we deserve, the consequences of a society seeking to live independently apart from God are clearly outlined in Romans chapter 1. So it should not take us by surprise when we hear what God says. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for those of you taking notes, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, the day which commits such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I will say again, we either play by God's word, his rules, or we don't. But don't ever think that God won't let us play. God will let us play, but God doesn't. Instead, God gives us up and gives us over, just like the Bible says. And what we have today is exactly what Romans chapter 1 says, exactly what God says. We have a society that is living apart from God, and so we are simply getting what we deserve. And while this is clearly not what God wants, and I know from speaking with many of you, it is not what you want. It is not what I want. When it comes to sin, we do not get to choose the consequences of our choices. That's the bad news. The good news is it doesn't have to continue to be this way, because God says if. There's great power in that word. There's great hope in that word. There's great promise in that word if. Because it means the ball is in our court, so to speak. Now, brothers and sisters, God knows something about us that many of us don't know about ourselves, and here's what that is. God knows that many of us are happy to do what God wants as long as it meets our terms. But when it doesn't, we like to go our own way. We like to become our own God. We like to become the master of our own fate. But we also still expect God to honor his promise. And when we're done calling the shots in our own life, and we're down, and we're kind of in a bind because of our sin, we like to turn around and tell God, well, God, heal my home. Oh, God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll do such and such. Heal my home, heal my marriage, heal my church, heal my community, heal my nation. But contrary to what many believe, friend, it just doesn't work that way. He is God, and we are not. And his word speaks. And God means what he says. Do we as believers really believe that our lives are our own? Were we not bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ? The arrogant posture that many Christians hold to today is the very reason why our homes, our nation, our churches, communities are not experiencing the spiritual healing we so desperately seek. And while God will never force us to do anything his way, he will not heal our homes. He will not heal our church. He will not heal our community, our county, or our nation until we do what God has said. Now let's make application as we close here. God has certainly told us this morning where the solution lies. It lies with those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ. It lies with us. We are the solution to the problem. So the question is, if you will, God will. If you won't, God won't. It's just that simple. God never makes things complicated. He just lays it out. And I believe that he has laid it out here for us clearly today, so that when we leave this place, we will know we have heard from God. We will know what God expects of us. Now, if you've repented of your sin and accepted the free gift of salvation that God has offered, and if you've applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your heart and to your life for the forgiveness of your sins, then you are one of his people. But if you haven't, if there's never been a time in your life when you've made a public profession of faith, if there's never been a time in your life when you've truly given your heart to Jesus, then you're not one of his people. It's just that simple. But the good news is that you do not have to remain not one of his people. If the Holy Spirit has convicted you of your sin, if the Holy Spirit has convinced you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and may we be so bold to say that perhaps the Holy Spirit has opened the doors of hell and you can see what awakes and now you're scared and you want to repent, what greater reason is there to come to Christ? Jesus Christ stands ready to forgive as always. The reason the cross is like this is because there is no sin too big that he cannot forgive. And his arms are always open to receive us. He loves us. He understands our frame. He knows that we are but dust. And he loves to be and show himself mighty on our behalf. If that describes you here this morning or online, you simply bow your head, and I'm going to ask people to begin to pray for lost people to begin receiving Jesus Christ. But you might pray this prayer this morning after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself. But you can. Oh, thank God you can, and you did when you died on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I'm coming today, and I want you to forgive me of my sins. And I'm putting my faith and my trust in you Lord, I want that old life to go away, and I want to be new in Jesus this morning. Oh, Father, would you make me new? Lord, will you forgive me? Lord, I want to thank you for saving my soul. I want to thank you for shedding your blood, and I want to apply your blood to my life. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, my prayer is that many will have prayed that prayer this morning. But what if you're already saved, but you've made a mess of things? Somewhere along the line, we talked about you started to drift from God. Now you're so far from God, you can't even find your way home. What then? God's got you covered. That's the good news. God's got you covered. The Bible says if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It does not get any better than that. Can't stress it enough. God loves you. He gave his one and only son for you. Not so that you could go on sinning, but so that you could stop sinning. So you could throw the old away and be that brand new creature Charlotte talked about in her sermon this morning. Friends, the message has been preached. There's nothing more to be said. But during this time of invitation, may God move mightily.